Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And welcome to part two of RSR's program on the Great American Eclipse here in just 3 days.
Yeah.
Monday, August 21st from about 10 in the morning on the West Coast to 3 in the afternoon on the East Coast.
Okay, so that's a three-hour difference in time zones, right? Going from the Pacific to the Atlantic. So Eastern to Pacific, the eclipse on the continental U.S. will last for almost 2 hours as the path of totality, as they call it, when the shadow of the moon is complete across a very narrow path on the Earth. And it's a tiny point on the Earth because the moon is relatively small compared to the sun.
That's right. Right?
And it's about 250,000 miles away. So that means that's about a two-hour event as the eclipse travels across the U.S. from Oregon in the northwest to South Carolina in the southeast.
And you know there's been about 2,000 eclipses since Jesus was born.
2,000?
That means about one a year.
Wow. 2,000, that's really a lot, Fred.
It is.
And when you look at a map of eclipses over the whole globe, say for a 50-year period, any 50-year period, it looks like somebody threw a plate of spaghetti on the map.
Well, I'm looking this map, and to me, it looks more like linguine.
Linguine. Linguine. Well, I guess they're sort of flat, right?
They are.
If you're going to be that particular, Fred, then it's got to be linguine al dente.
Okay? Al dente? What's al dente?
You're not serious, are you?
I am, actually.
Do you remember Tony Rigatoni's? You were okay. You owned an Italian restaurant.
Well, they never told me anything,
right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Tony Rigatoni's in Morrison, right in the foothills here by the Hogbacks. Cheryl and I, we used to go there, Fred, before we knew that you were the owner.
Well, I was a silent partner, so that's why they never told me about El Dente.
El Dente.
So I guess if, you know, that you've got 50 years worth of total eclipse on the Earth and it looks like somebody threw a plate of, what was that, al dente linguine on the globe?
Yeah, and by the way, that means it's cooked well. It's cooked firm. You don't want mushy, overcooked pasta. That would be mouchard, we said in New Jersey.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but it reminds me, speaking of Italian food,
yeah,
you know what you're not supposed to do with the eclipse? We're going to talk about that.
What?
One of the things is you don't hold up a Little Caesar's pizza to look at the eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody did that.
Tried that. Other
a little pinhole in it.
Want to look in a bucket of water. Not safe.
No.
Do not do those things. We'll talk about the safety issue. So we air here at Real Science Radio, we air on a 50,000-watt Christian radio station, the most powerful station in Colorado. So, if anyone tells you that the eclipse is prophetic, because this is a Christian station, and we teach the scriptures, including through our Friday science shows, but if anybody tells you this eclipse is prophetic, that it relates to the end times, then you're in luck.
You're in luck. How come, Bob?
Well, because you just ask, well, what's the guy's name who told you that? Because sometimes it's not always easy to identify false teachers.
False teachers.
But
so
Fred,
you write their name down when they, okay,
yes,
gotcha.
And you put them on your false teacher list. Christians that you don't trust. Christians who are naive and gullible because you've got them practically admitting that they're false teachers.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Because they're using the eclipse as some kind of end times prophecy. You know, a lot of people don't really know that there's a lot of eclipses. The last one to hit North America was just back in 1979.
The last total one.
Yep.
Right? The path of totality traveled through 5 Northwest and Midwestern states. And Fred, the next big one coming in April of 2024, if the Lord tarries, if he doesn't return before that, that's just 7 years from now. That'll pass from Mexico to Canada with total darkness in a swath across America visible from a dozen states, from Texas to New Hampshire.
You know, Bob, if we're still around in 2045.
Whoa.
So it's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
You and me.
Yeah, you and I. If we're still around, that one's going to go right south of Denver. I mean, that's one. That one's really cool. It goes really cool. Man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 states.
From California through Florida,
all right in the, through the middle of Colorado.
Fred, I printed it out for you to take a look at. Back in 1925, the front page of the New York Times, there was a January 24th eclipse, and the Times wrote about it that Sunday, reporting on this was quite an eclipse.
Here's some of the New York Times headlines on this 1925 eclipse. Eclipse, a brilliant show seen from land, sea, and air. Mm. Thrills millions.
Yeah.
City halts to gaze.
That's New York City, right?
Yep. Scientists now study the data.
Yeah, Fred, and then the paper showed a sequence of photographs of the sun increasingly covered by the moon until totality, and they wrote that the city migrates to the north for the best views. That was way back in 1925. So, according to the Bible, almost as bad as a false teacher are the students who prefer the false teachers because they send them money so that they continue to mislead others.
Yeah, the itching ears?
Yeah, exactly.
So, false teacher, is that a little harsh there, Bob?
You know, maybe it's too strong a term because many of these gullible preachers love the Lord, but they and their companions in all of this, they have been wrong on these kinds of interpretations, not just for the last two decades, not for the last two centuries, but for 2,000 years, they have been wrong. Eventually, somebody's going to get it right, but Fred, it's like a broken clock.
Yeah,
they're just going to get it right by accident.
Yeah. You make enough predictions, one can come true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jesus' second coming, hasn't it always been imminent? He could return any time.
Wow, what a great point. And in fact, the apostles believed that he could return at any moment. I love that word you use, Fred. It has always been imminent since the time that the New Testament was being written. And that means no eclipse is needed, no other sign to indicate the soon return of the Lord.
That's right. And again, 2,000 of these things have occurred since the birth of our Lord.
Yeah. And in this century, this is now the 21st century, over our current 100-year period, there are quite a few eclipses, 13 that cross most or part of North America, 8 of them passing over huge swaths of our continent.
So, you know, really, when you narrow it down from the entire globe to just North America,
yeah,
I guess it really doesn't look like a plate of linguine.
No.
But it really shows you a real interesting picture. And it's funny, kind of, if anything, looks like someone kidnapped the United States and tied her up. I mean, it's like,
you
know, bandage like, ropes around the face.
Yeah, these ropes are going every which way, right? Picture a map of just North America and these lines drawn where all these eclipse paths will be this century. You've got every which way, west to east, southwest to northeast. Some are rounded eclipse paths that hit the northern states and the New England states, and they wind their way through Canada. So these are just some of the thousands of eclipses in just the past two millennia. But Fred, if we think since God created the earth, about 7,000 years ago, less than 10,000 years ago. But that means there have been about 7,000 total eclipses.
That's right. We know that. You know, even Newton and Kepler, they would calculate and plot when these things occurred. And
in
now
the past,
today, yeah,
in the past,
in the past, and today we've got computers that can do that.
Oh, yeah.
So these are very reasonable numbers, you know, 7,000 since God created the earth. But the main point is these are natural phenomena, right?
Right.
And I remember you talked about the red moon and all the, you know,
the blood moons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And all
the
nonsense that went around that.
Yeah, Fred, the big eclipses that are here in the U.S., they're the ones that get all the end times money and attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of that is located here in America. Well, they're not omens of the end times. we did, like you said, a real science radio show on the blood moons. Just like these particular eclipses, the blood moons weren't even visible in the Holy Land, you know, in Jerusalem, in Galilee, in Judah, over the Mount of Olives, where you think if it's an end time sign, maybe it would be there in the Holy Land. But really, nowhere in Israel, all these ones that get all this attention.
Yeah. And, you know, we strongly believe in the second coming. I mean,
oh, of course.
Come Lord Jesus, the last words of the Bible.
Yeah, we agree with all of Christ's followers who are looking for the Lord's return.
That's right. And, you know, the world is so incredibly evil. I mean, you think of just World War II. I don't know if you've seen Dunkirk. That was a really interesting movie. But
haven't
just
seen
the
that.
Really, man, just the evil from that. And you're, you know,
yeah,
World
and
War
think
II.
About those who lived at that time who were reading the Bible and they thought, well, look, it's the end times. It's nation against nation. It's Israel, the Jews being persecuted. I mean, what an argument they could make, except it wasn't. And you go before that, World War I. And you go before that, you go back to the Black Plague and Halley's Comet 1,000 years ago. And then there was Y2K, all the Christian teachers who taught Jesus was coming back on a computer bug.
Yeah.
Now, where'd they get that from the Bible? I don't know where they got that. But Fred, they almost all got it. And these are guys that I love, you know, Chuck Smith, Chuck Missler, so many of them. And they obviously love the Lord.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But this was all false.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Now, back to the eclipse.
Okay. There are two dangers with this eclipse. Mm. And the first one is the obvious one, your eyesight. You know, it could affect millions of people because people need to be warned or educated that you can't just look at the sun.
You got to protect your eyes.
And the second one is kind of more unique this time. And this is also going to affect millions of people. We know that Homeland Security is even involved, and that's the travel.
Yeah.
Tons of people that are going to be traveling to this.
Let's talk about both of those. So first, looking at the sun, including in the seconds just before and after the eclipse, without special protection, that is dangerous.
Yes, you need eclipse viewing glasses or a solar telescope to be safe. And it was interesting coming into the studio today. We ran into a guy we really like, one of the guys that works in the building, and he had kind of heard an old wives' tale about looking in a bucket. You could get a bucket of water and look in a bucket. So we looked it up.
Or look in a pool. And we warned him. And then we looked it up and confirmed that that is dangerous. That is not a safe way to look at the sun. Your local science stores, many of them around the country, stocked eclipse viewing glasses. Well, they're all out. I called stores that stocked glasses in Denver. I think it's reasonable to assume that stores everywhere are now out. In fact, when I called the science company here in Denver and others, I just asked, so are you out of stock? That's it. So are you out of stock? And they knew what I'm talking about. Yep.
Huh.
So the science supply stores, they're out. Walmart's out. 7-Elevens were carrying them. They're out. Kroger's here in Denver, King Supers, they're sold out. Pilot Travel Center, the truck stops, they're out. Lowe's is sold out. Best Buy, even Toys R Us are out.
Are out of it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bob, some of us were kind of a little clever about this. And, you know, I bought like 500. And I'll sell you some right now, like 500 a piece.
Oh, you really did? No, you didn't.
No, I'm just kidding.
We did buy quite a few. But, you know, the Toys R Us representative was helpful and said every location in Colorado is sold out.
Wow.
So it's also too late, of course, to order them from Amazon. That's very unlikely to succeed. Earlier this week on Amazon, they were going for like $250 for four cardboard glasses for kids.
$250 for four.
Now,
cardboard
months
glasses.
Ago, that same set would cost you maybe $9.95. Then it was $19. Then it was $49.95. Now it's $250 for four pair of cardboard glasses. I also saw them, Fred, for up to $100 per pair. And that was, I mean, this week, just a few days ago, with shipping possible but not guaranteed in time for the eclipse on Monday.
This isn't that Amazon Prime where you can get it next day guaranteed.
No, none of these.
Wow.
None of these. Now, at Denver Bible Church, we purchased extra safety glasses to distribute for those who are traveling to see Totality from our congregation. And also, because we have some folks going to Nebraska, Fred, my family's going, Will Duffy, one of our elders, is going. So, you know, we're going to have a great
finally
time.
A reason to go to Nebraska.
Oh, Fred, don't we have a lot of listeners in
sorry
Nebraska.
About, hey, I'm a CU Buff fan, you know, football.
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
Football
all right.
Joke.
That's acceptable.
You know, in on the helmet knowledge.
In that case,
you know.
That's acceptable, okay. Cornhuskers. But also for those staying behind, we're going to hand out these glasses. We don't have enough for the whole congregation, but it's important that the glasses are ISO certified. In other words, International Standards Organization, or CE, European Conformity. They have to be certified, but the problem is that some sellers, you know, with human beings being inherently evil, mm-hmm. some have printed false ISO certification on their products.
Yeah, that is so bad.
Just terrible. That's,
yeah, man. So the important thing, Bob, is if your glasses are not very dark, in fact, extremely dark, then they are not safe.
Yeah.
So you should put them on and see if you can see, you know, ordinary household lights through your glasses.
And
or through your handheld viewer, you know, because
right.
some
they've
of these things,
too.
Yeah, there's the handheld viewers, some so other homemade things.
So if you can see lights in your house with your eclipse viewing glasses on, then they're no good. That's what you're saying?
Yep. The proper glasses, Bob, should block those lights out completely. Mm. Or you can use, you know, those welder plates, number 14 welder's plates.
Yeah, number 14 and darker. We've used those in the past, including when we had our Bible tour of Turkey. There happened to be an eclipse where it passed through right where we were in central Turkey in Cappadocia there. It was so much fun, Fred. So I'm glad you mentioned earlier, do not look at the eclipse in a bucket of water. Don't look through a mirror. You know, there are low-tech ways to view the eclipse that you can look up on the internet, but make sure when you do that you're not looking directly at the sun and you're following instructions of a reputable
exactly.
site.
Exactly, that's the key, a reputable
you
site.
You got to be careful. You know, one way to tell also that you have good glasses is that when you look at the sun, it should be comfortable. In fact, it should be like you're looking at the moon at night, how that doesn't
yeah,
hurt your eyes.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the sun through valid eclipse viewing glasses, it should be comfortable. If it appears overly bright and it makes your eyes uncomfortable, they're not safe.
Definitely.
Don't use them.
So, Bob, the second danger that we mentioned earlier is the travel. It's going to be a crazy weekend. Oh. People are going to be flooding to see the eclipse. You know, tens of millions of people are going to be on the road who live and work in the path of these traveling to see the eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just think of Denver. You know, we've got our famous I-25. Think of going north on I-25
on
Monday morning.
Monday morning during rush hour.
Yep. It could really be crazy, insane.
Yeah. So you might want to use your mapping software or just avoid, here in Denver, avoid I-25 north and I-76 north on your route to work Monday morning.
Yeah, everything going north.
And likewise, traveling southbound for rush hour Monday afternoon. So wherever you live, if you're headed to the eclipse or if you're in the path of those who are headed to the eclipse, be extra careful this weekend and especially on Monday, maybe even Tuesday morning.
Well, you know, I'm going to be staying here in you know, this area. I'll be actually be up in Longmont, but if you're in Denver in this general area, you're still going to get a 90% eclipse. It's going to get fairly dark at that time of day.
And we're more than 200 miles away. So for the sun to be covered more than 90% at this distance, it gives you an idea of how that darkness will go across the entire continental U.S. And it'll take about 90 minutes for the sun to grow gradually dark up until a little before noon. And then, of course, after that, the brightness will increase for another hour and a half.
Yeah, and hopefully we don't have, you know, bad cloud cover or something.
Oh, people are going to travel, and you got to know that somewhere across this 3,000 miles, there's going to be bad weather. People are looking at the weather forecast.
Yep.
And they started looking at the almanac a year ago when people made their plans.
Yep. So
not
here,
that helps any.
Yeah,
you can't predict the weather.
Yep.
Hardly.
So here at our studio, we're about, what, 230 miles away?
Yeah, that's right. Due north to Douglas, Wyoming. So that's a 3.5 hour drive up Interstate I-25. You know what else is interesting, Fred? That as the center point of the path of totality, exactly at the center point of the whole thing, it travels across the U.S. starting at more than 3,000 miles per hour, and then it slows down as the moon gets higher in the sky. So going from Oregon to South Carolina, we're talking about a two-hour event, and that moon is cooking.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So what about hotels, Bob? Did you get a hotel up in Nebraska?
Well, we got a place to stay, and we made the reservations a long time ago. Now, I don't recommend making a trip to see the eclipse unless you already have hotel reservations, at least for Sunday night, if not also for Saturday, and maybe even Monday night. Many people are doing
that. Yeah, this is going to be like the Super Bowl. They're going to be charging an arm and a leg for people to stay there.
Well, they are, and they have been for many months now. In fact, hotel reservations nationwide, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, they've all been booked solid. And when any rooms do open up, for whatever reason, cancellations or whatever, these last-minute reservations, they're going for hundreds and even thousands of dollars a night. And typically, they want a three-night or a five-night minimum.
Yeah, amazing. And then we mentioned earlier, Homeland Security's involved.
Yeah.
You know, you got all kinds of government agencies, city, state, county, local police, the fire responders, the Red Cross.
Yeah, first responder. Red Cross is setting up shelters in cities where they know that tens of thousands are coming to cities that have almost no services. Mm-hmm. You know, some little tiny cities are being targeted because of what a perfect viewing location, and it's expected to be good weather. And so this is going to be rough, this enormous migration, millions of automobiles, tens of millions of people from north and south, all headed to this narrow black line stretching from Salem, Oregon, to Charleston, South Carolina. This is going to be wild.
It's going to be wild. And, you know, there's going to be gas stations running out of gas.
Yeah.
They're not going to have enough supplies. They're so you got to be prepared for that.
I'd say if you're driving this weekend and into Monday, make sure to have water in your vehicle, snacks. Don't run out of gas. And that could be a challenge if gas stations on your route run out. And it's also dangerous to carry gasoline inside your vehicle. So just generally speaking, be wise, be careful, and it's not a bad idea to watch the eclipse on the news from the comfort of your couch.
That's right. Yeah. I'm going to be doing it, like I said, up in Longmont at work. Mm. I'm sure we're all going to, lots of us will head outside and not look at the sun, but just kind of be amazed by the, you know, how it becomes dark. I'm just so hoping we're not going to have cloud cover.
Oh, yeah. The path of totality is 70 miles wide, so 35 miles on each side. But the closer to the center of that path, the longer the duration of the experience. And generally speaking, it's a pretty brief event. In Oregon, it ranges from like 30 seconds of totality up to about 2 minutes. As you move east, cities in the path of totality, they get a bit more darkness, up to a maximum of 2 minutes and 40 seconds. And that's
actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And that's in towns in Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And then you lose a few seconds as you continue east to South Carolina.
So wouldn't it be interesting if you were in an airplane, you know, and of course you'd want to be flying east, you know, and try to fly along this eclipse.
To extend the duration. That is great. In fact, scientists have done that. The most famous example was back in the 1970s, Fred. They observed the eclipse for 74 minutes. They followed that thing for over an hour. That is just so cool. And when we think of that narrow path of totality, then think of how much more narrow the roadways are, like minuscule threads to those parts of the country. So that's why it's possible to have enormous traffic jams in various locales.
So, Bob, let's talk about how an eclipse happens. I mean, we've talked about this before. It just screams design. There's no way this happens by chance.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You know, like the secular NASA, how they present an eclipse. It's
when
so
they
convoluted.
Do, yeah, it's like obtuse. Muddied. It's confusing.
So here's what they say. What is an eclipse? The moon is 30 Earth diameters away. The sun is 400 times that distance.
That is,
so, yeah.
That's so confusing compared to Real Science Radio, where we say the sun is 400 times larger than the diameter of the moon and 400 times further away. That's why we see a total solar eclipse.
Right.
So as we've often pointed out, because of the evolutionary bias, science education is so often confused and muddled with a lot of the most exciting and easy to grasp discoveries not being presented well because they imply design.
That's right. And again, we said it's a nearly exact ratio, 400 times farther, 400 times larger.
Yeah.
That's real simple.
Yeah, it's so cool. Also, astronomers count about 175 moons in our solar system. And of all those moons, only one produces a total solar eclipse, our moon.
Our moon.
And why
Amazing.
Is that? Well, it's because there are only observers on the Earth. That's it. And so the sun is 400 times further away from the Earth and 400 times larger than the moon. And so we get a total solar eclipse. That's so fun and it's so simple. And Fred, that quote you read from NASA's website, I Googled Eclipse 2017, and I got the top 10 websites, and they were from major publishers like Space.com, NASA, Sky and Telescope, GreatAmericanEclipse.com, all these sites. And Fred, not a one of them makes it as easy to understand as Real Science Radio, that the sun is 400 times further away and 400 times larger than the moon. That's why we can see a total solar eclipse.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
That sounds like design.
Oh, big time.
Just, and that it's the only moon in the solar system that does this.
And they want to obfuscate on that. They don't want it to sound like design.
Yeah.
So they say the moon is 30 Earth diameters away and 400 times that distance.
Yeah, so in fact, you know, the article is on the total solar eclipse. Who, what, where, when, and how. It's the main NASA article on this eclipse. And so when you pull it up in the section, what is an eclipse, just as you just read, Fred, they say, here's what they say. The moon is 30 Earth diameters away. The sun is 400 times that distance. Huh?
Yeah.
It's just not clear. Mm-hmm. In fact, none of these websites even use the word ratio, that you have this beautiful one-to-one ratio in the distance to the diameter. And so those things speak of design. And it seems certain that the only way to foul up the education of how you can see a total eclipse is because you don't want people to grasp how perfect it is.
Exactly. The design behind it.
Yeah.
Bob, we're almost out of time, but I did want to talk about the political correctness that's going on with this eclipse.
How could there be political correctness with an eclipse, Fred?
So the hosts of the Atheistic Astronomy Cast program.
Very famous program.
Yeah. They lamented on the name of this eclipse. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the Great American Eclipse.
Oh, come on. You know, leftist liberals, they hate America. And I think it's because through the 20th century, America was the beacon to the world of the gospel. And so they always want to give America a black eye, tarnish. So they don't like it being called the Great American Eclipse. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
The path of totality, it traverses the entire
continental
USA. That's about as American as it gets.
And we mentioned that there was an eclipse that happened and it went through parts of Mexico, right?
Oh, yeah,
Mexico and
Canada. In fact, there's one coming up that'll go through Mexico. But, you know,
do we get to call that one the American eclipse if this one doesn't get to be that?
Well, I guess Astronomy Cast, they're whining on behalf of Mexicans, in behalf of Canadians, because, you know, they're Americans, too. That's what they say, these liberals. because they're part of North America, but that's really a bogus argument.
Well, Bob, I mean, you have to be inclusive.
Now, if somebody's born in Mexico, does that make them a Mexican? Of course it does.
Yeah.
If they're born in Canada, they're a Canadian. You know, Guatemalans, Brazilians, and so on. Well, if someone is born here in the U.S. of A., aren't they Americans? Of course we are Americans. American is more USA than it is any other nation in North or South or Central America. This is America right here. They're Brazilian. They're Argentinian. They're Peruvian. In fact, Fred, they'd much rather be called Mexicans and Canadians than be called Americans. They don't want to be called Americans.
Yeah.
And beside, no hablo español porque no quiero hablar español.
No, thanks. I'm not hungry.
Oh, Fred. You know, I just said, I don't speak Spanish because I don't want to speak Spanish. Actually, I'd love to speak Spanish real well. I studied it enough in high school.
I did too.
I should if the school was any good. But at midday on August 21st, while the name disappoints many liberals, we're all going to experience the Great American Eclipse, and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome, and it's just 3 days away. Monday, August 21st.
Yes. Can't wait. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
And this is Bob Benyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of